Psalm 139. You see, we know that psalm, don't we? Of course. But in revision, we learn and are blessed. Who wrote this psalm? You know, of course, David. We all know David, the one who was the only man in the Bible recorded, a man after God's own heart. Would you like to be so described, dear friends? When we read, there must be a voice of the Lord, of the Spirit of God speaking to you. These are the words of everlasting life and truth out of the pen of the man after God's own heart. So with that, you read with understanding, with appreciation, with submission to receive and to submit. For this is the word of God. And who's speaking to you? My Savior, He speaks to me. Oh, my friends, there is so much precious truth in this one Psalm 139. We can spend 3, 4, 5, 6 sessions speaking about the various verses in this psalm, but my time is limited. I think I have about 30 minutes left. And within the 30 minutes, let's wait on the Lord and see what He has for us out of this Psalm of David. We read the first 6 verses and see what it says. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my lying, my downsetting, mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path with and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Pause and just look over these. Think over these 6 verses. What are we talking about when they say, O Lord, who is this Lord? Do you know Him? Of course. All of us who have come to the Lord Jesus and received Him as Savior must know Him. And if you don't know Him very well today, you're going to know Him much better. For He is the one who called David, who called all the saints, the apostles, and called you to be His children out of darkness, to be in the family of God. Please recognize this great fact every day. You are a Singaporean. Good, thank you. Congratulations. Very good. I say, dear friends, much more important, I am a citizen of the heavenly kingdom. And my heavenly King, my Savior says, you are mine. I know you through and through. You know, it's so difficult to know someone very high up. True? Of course. Do you know anybody in the cabinet who knows you well, who visits with you and cares for you? Anyone here? I suppose almost none. All right. Now, here is the great King. He is interested in you. Ever since the day you looked to Him and said, Lord, I need you, there came a new, intimate, wonderful, everlasting relationship with this Savior. Do you know it? Do you have it? Of course you have it. Only thing is, we all do not always realize it. And these 6 verses tell you, this Lord that you profess, that gives you His name to call you a Christian, He is a wonderful Lord. Please follow me. This Lord has searched me and known me. He knows all about me. You know my downsitting, uprising, from the very first moment I awake till my last moment that I sleep, through the day, in whatever I do, He is with me. He knows me. And He knows my thinking, even before I speak. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful piece of knowledge we have. That my Savior not only saved me, but after saving me and taking me into His family, He is very interested in me. Verse 3. To this Savior, David says, "You surround my pathway." Oh, how wonderful. When you drive, do you pray? Every time you begin a trip, silently pray that the Lord will keep you. Is He able? Of course. Does He know? Of course. But why pray? It is His formula. It is His will. It is His method. You pray, He will bless you because you have the faith and the trust in Him. And here, David says, "You surround my pathway. Wherever I go through this traffic of Singapore," it's not bad actually when you drive through the city, but wait till you go to places like Sri Lanka, where I go, and they drive with a horn. They don't drive with press and go. Well, here it says, "My Lord surround me everywhere I go." And so you have a wonderful knowledge. Verse 4. Please note, "Not a word in my tongue, but lo, my Lord, you know it altogether. How important, therefore, that I guard what I say." This mouth gate. What you speak every day, the Lord knows. And the Lord will bless you when you speak a word for Him. And He besets me behind and before. Even before I go, He's ahead of me. Even after I leave, He's behind me. He's around me everywhere. And verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful. To know that I have a Lord who is so wonderful, He knows everything about me. Now, consider this. How do you live your life? How do you plan your everyday? Do you have a plan? If you fail to plan, it says you plan to fail. Every day plan. Every day come before the Lord in the morning and commit your ways to the Lord first thing in the morning before you begin anything else for the day. Tell Him all your needs because He is interested. And He is able to bless you, to guide you. So that's the first thought, the first 6 verses. He knows. And the Bible word we learn from this is He's omniscient. Omniscient means all-knowing. He knows you. Therefore, give thanks every day that I have a VVVIP, the Lord Jesus Christ, who knows me, who's interested in me, who's able to help me. Now the next few verses begin from verse 7 to 13. Please follow me. Verse 7, "Whither shall I go from thy presence, from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be a light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness as a light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins." I mean, up to here. These 6 verses tell us the Lord is ever present everywhere. Everywhere you go, you cannot go away from Him because He is the Lord. The Almighty Creator is present everywhere, and on your behalf, He is with you. Do you not remember our Lord Jesus, before He ascended to heaven, that most precious promise. Please remember it, the last verse of the last chapter of the book of Matthew. Easy to remember? The last verse of the last chapter of Matthew's gospel. The Lord says to you, "Lo, I am with you until the end of the world. I am with you always, every moment of every day, in every place you go. I am with you in my Holy Spirit." So the Lord says, "I will not leave you comfortless." Yes, sometimes you are in a very blessed company and you feel so secure, so blessed. And when the great revival meeting or whatever meeting is over, you say, "Wow, what's going to happen?" Dear friends, Jesus says, "I will not leave you comfortless, helpless, without strength, without support." For He is very interested in you because you are His. And He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. Pray therefore every day and see if you will not have a new appreciation of the presence of the Lord Jesus wherever you go. He says, let's look at these verses. It's so immense. Verse 7, "Where shall I go from thy spirit? Where shall I flee from thy presence?" Sometimes you feel, "Oh Lord, I'm a sinner. I better run away from you." Or maybe you have done something wrong and you say, "I want to run away. I dare not face the Lord." There is no way you can escape His presence. But for us who are seeking to do His will every day and walking with Him, what a blessed thought. You go to China, America, anywhere, He is with you. You cannot escape His presence and His loving care. Oh, my friends, do not think of yourself as a fugitive running away, but as His child. When we were little, our parents sent us from Johor to Singapore. Every trip is a sad experience when we were small. Yes. What shall we do without father and mother? The first week of school, my second brother, now with the Lord, and myself, we live in a place called Hau Kang, and with my grandfather. Every afternoon we think of father and mother, and every afternoon we go to the back of the house and cry for 15, 20 minutes, simply because we miss father and mother. Now here is your Heavenly Father, and He says, "I am with you, wherever you go, always with you, until the end of the world." So David expresses this thought. Of course, you can't go up to heaven, but if I do, if I were to be able to go up to heaven, wow, my Lord is there. Where is He? Seated. Where? Right hand of God. Doing what? You know that? What is He doing? Praying for me. That thought is too wonderful for me. Too wonderful to know that while I am wandering around on earth, doing my everyday work, there is my Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, praying for me. Do you know that? He is concerned with your welfare. Every day is concerned. And there He is praying for you. I say, "Thank you, Lord. Not only for saving me, but for praying for me. Wherever I go, He watches over me." This is the thought of these six verses. Read on, please. Verse 9. "If I take the wings of the morning..." Do you know what is the wings of the morning? This is poetic language. In the morning, when you wake up, what do? When you are awake, I always look out of the window, because that is my indicator. Is it 4 o'clock? 5 o'clock? By 6:30, some light appears. by 7 o'clock, it is getting bright already. What is the wing of the morning? What is it? The light that travels at something like, I forget, 193,000 miles a second. If I could really ride on the wing of the light in the morning and flee away as far as I can go, even till you go to the end of that trip, the Lord is there. For His presence fills the whole universe, which He made by the breath of His mouth. That's the power of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. So, that is verse 9 for you. Look at verse 9. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me. How wonderful. Lead me. Is His hand leading you every day, my friends? Plan for the day. Every day you must plan. And every day plan and say, Lord, lead me today in your path of righteousness, that I may not sin against thee. Make that your prayer. Now we come to verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, hast covered me in my mother's womb. What we are about to read is some amazing passage of embryology. We started embryology as students of biology. Today, I suppose you do it in junior college. In my day, we started in university, medical course, first year. And then we begin to know the wonders of how we were formed. Do you know that? And here, in the next few verses, the poet, shepherd poet, the shepherd boy, David, is going to describe a piece of embryology that only was disclosed to us with the invention of the microscope not too long ago. But that was thousands of years ago. God gave it to David to describe how you and I were formed by the wonderful molding, guiding hand of God, that we today sit here as well-formed human beings. Very wonderful. Now let's look at this. Verse 14. David says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Verse 15 says, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in the secret part, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, meaning to say, formed in exact scientific sequence, that we were formed in the mother's womb, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. Amen. All of us began life as one cell, you and I, right? One cell from mother, one cell from father, joined together, became one cell again. And from that one cell, it becomes you and me today sitting here, 6 trillion cells. Amazing. And how does it happen? Not by chance, not by evolution, but here, David tells us how the great God formed us by His wonder-working power. In Genesis 1 and 2, it says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the earth. How true it is. The moment we stop breathing, I stop breathing, we all begin to rot. And then we are committed to the ground 6 feet under. And you dig it up, sometime later you find nothing but earth. True? absolutely. Of course, bones are preserved. But eventually when the bones dissolve, they also become earth. The Lord God took the earth, formed us into a man, in the first one, first man, Adam. Then he breathed his breath into our nostril, into his nostril, and Adam became a living soul. And then came Eve out of the rib, and the two of them from that time on began to multiply, and that's how we came. Now, that cycle repeats all the time. And here, David describes for us that cycle of life. You began as one cell, no form, just one. And within a matter of a couple of weeks, it became a ball of cells. Yes, a ball of cells. And that ball of cells begin to differentiate into the supportive and the definitive part of you. One part to support and the other part to grow. And within a sack of water. And we all go through that. Now look at what it says here. Verse 15 says, my substance was not hid from thee, for you made us. My substance was known to you because you plan in a blueprint. Do you know that is a blueprint? Scientists have analyzed and said, if the whole process of embryology, every step were to be described, how that one cell became the 6 trillion cells, in became all the various systems that make us today, if all those steps were to be described, they would take 1,000 books of 1,000 pages of fine print each, to describe how you became you. But David, of course, didn't describe it in that detail. He says, verse 15, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Amazing detail, intricacy. Every move is in sequence. And every cell goes exactly to the place where it must go. And that one cell can become part of the eye, for example. And certain of the cells will go and become eyelash. And certain become eyebrow. How come? Supposing the hairs of the eyebrow were to grow onto your cornea, onto your ear, you would not be able to see. How did the cells know where to go? And how is it girls don't grow mustache? And how is it all of us look what we look? Beautiful? Well-formed? All of us have 2 eyes, 2 ears, not 3 ears, not 1 ear, 2 nostrils. All these things are described. Now read now. Verse 16. God's eyes did see my substance, being yet imperfect. As I told you, we began as a cell, became a ball of cells, then became 2 parts to the ball, and the inner part becomes you. The outer part becomes the placenta. And eventually, all the systems are made, yet being imperfect. Sometimes we get abortions, that is, people who abort prematurely. And out comes a baby. Yeah. And you would examine the baby. If it is quite early, 6, 8, 10 weeks, you get 2 petals. There are no fingers, you know that. Unperfect. It is only by the 3rd month then these begin to grow into fingers. You know your heart begins to pump at 6 weeks. 6 weeks after conception, the heart is doing this already. How come all this did? And eventually the heart continues to keep you alive every minute, 60 to 70 pumps. Each time it pumps out 100 to 120 mils of blood that we all can breathe and live and walk and think and do our things. What keeps you going? Your heart. and your lungs to keep you oxygenated. All these immense systems, at one time they were non-existent. And says here, it's all written by God in His book, that all of us will go through that process eventually. When your time comes to be born, after 9 months, you come out laughing, though, crying. Everybody comes out crying. But yet, perfect, as a baby. 6 pounds, 7 pounds. That's it. Verse 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them when you think of it. You say, Lord, thank you, you didn't forget to make me perfect. Everyone is made perfect. Of course there are the malformations, you say. Of course. Why the malformations? Answer, because man sinned in Genesis 3. And the curse came upon mankind, giving rise to all kinds of malformations, of course. But in the normal course of events, how wonderful. Are you grateful that you were born normal? Yes. Thank God, therefore. Thank God He is so kind and He gives to us all our senses, all our systems, all functioning, all ready to go when we were born until now, and keeps us going. Now comes the message. It is a prayer. Verse 23. Make this your prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is a spiritual check-up call. A prayer for a check-up. Next month is my annual check-up. I go to see my doctor, and he will put me through all the tests. At the end of it, he'll tell me, this is wrong, that is wrong, that is wrong. What do you do? I say, thank you very much. I know you're telling me the truth. And you tell me, don't do this, don't do that, you must do this, do that, and take this, take that. I say, thank you very much. Here is a spiritual checkup. We come before the Lord who made us. Understand? He made you. He loves you. He cares for you. And He said, search me, O God. I want to be healthy before you in the spiritual sense. I cannot check myself up. Yes, can you? Because all of us think ourselves are pretty good. Yeah. But when you come before the Lord, you say, Lord, I realize before you, I'm not that good. I need a spiritual checkup. Let's all say this in your heart today. Lord, I need that spiritual checkup. Search me, verse 23. Oh God, know my heart. How is my heart? Try me, know my thoughts. What am I thinking of at this moment? Of course, you can be seated here, but your mind can be 10,000 miles away, thinking of something not quite good. Right? Who can tell? Nobody can tell, but God can. He knows your thoughts, He knows your heart. And when you come to your senses, you say exactly like David, Lord, give me a spiritual checkup to show me exactly my spiritual status, my condition, so that I know what to do, and you please tell me. And I will do it because I want to be led in the way everlasting. I want to go the way that leads me to the heavenly home. Please see here. Verse 24. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Come to the Lord and ask Him, please tell me what's wrong with me. I realize I'm not perfect. True? Is there anyone here that says, hey, don't include me, I'm perfect? No. We are all not perfect. And we come to the Lord and say, Lord, I know I have sinned. Somewhere, somehow, sometime. Show it to me. You know, the Lord will tell you exactly what it is, and He'll tell it truthfully, absolutely authentic. And much more important, He'll tell it lovingly. Yeah. For your good. For your betterment. And when you hear it, you say, well, thank you, Lord. Thank you for showing me where I have sinned. Don't go and ask your friend, because when your friend has told you the truth about you, you become his enemy. Yeah. Nobody likes to hear from friends. Hey, you're not so good. After that, you won't be his friend anymore. So don't listen to people. Although there are some real friends who will tell you what is wrong and gently, and then you have to quickly thank him for what he says. If you realize what he says is true, all right. Now here is the real friend. Our friend, the Lord Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus, right? We all sing it. He will tell us. We conclude this morning with this thought. Search me, O God. Search me. I am not that good. Yes. Before God, we are nothing. Before man, you can pretend, you can make up, you can put a show. Gua yang tou, mai gou rou. You know that? Put a sheep head, sell dog meat. Before people, you look so good, so kind, so gentle, so gentlemanly. Behind, all full of wickedness. That's who? That's me? That's you? And the Lord says, come along. Let us all get down to the real thing. And the real thing is, don't play act. Don't hide. There is no way you can hide. You can take the wings of the morning, go to the uttermost part of the sea, and there the Lord is still with you. Conclude, verses 23, 24. You like to read with me, please. Let's all read. When you read, the word of God will speak to you. Together, please. Verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. The way everlasting is what we are here for this morning. What are we here for? Because we are walking the way everlasting. The only way that will lead us to the everlasting home. And this is our prayer this morning. Will you pray with me now? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, grant that we may all yearn and work for the way everlasting. That we will flee youthful lusts. We will flee the things of the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, and all these things that do captivate us. O Lord, and lead us in the way everlasting. Bless your people here this morning. As we have heard from Psalm 139, may thou bless it to our souls and our hearts to change our lives, that we may daily witness for thee through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.